Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
And it goes to show that with these hate speech laws, which are so vaguely worded, so subjective, they can really be manipulated and used and arbitrarily enforced if you get someone in power who wants to make a point.
So many times you hear marriage today, people say, I didn't marry the perfect one. I missed the perfect one. I got stuck with someone who's not perfect. And so I need to leave this one and go find someone better. That's a selfish notion, a concept of the world that the devil loves to feed.
I'm, quote, just a mom, or I'm, quote, just a dad, or I'm just a good neighbor. I'm just a member of my congregation. I never did anything great. So this myth of the one great thing can lead to both neglect and regret.
What Jesus does, he sees the wrath of God coming, and he leans over, so all the wrath of God goes on him rather than on us.
Twins in Virginia love listening to Issues Etc.
What is the proper Christian response to cancel culture? I know what our impulse is as sinful human beings. It's to cancel back or to wait for an opportunity to be part of that cancel culture going the other direction. It largely comes from the left. That's true. But does that mean that Christians, who often sit on the right in some of these issues, well, does that mean that they have the right to cancel back? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Thursday afternoon, the 3rd of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Pastor Hans Feeney, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Cancel Culture Attacks Our Leftist Attempts to Protect Their Pagan Pulpits. Then we'll spend some time with Pastor Chris Rosebro talking about the preaching and the teaching of the new leaders of Hillsong Church. And we'll round everything off today with your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about cancel culture, Pastor Hans Feeney. He's pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and author of a column for The Federalist, Cancel Culture Attacks Our Leftist Attempts to Protect Their Pagan Pulpits. Hans, welcome back.
Good to be here.
So tell us about this controversy recently in the news, actually, not just on social media, that involved top podcaster Joe Rogan, the podcasting service Spotify, and a number of musical artists and celebrities.
So Joe Rogan has a very popular podcast, millions of listeners. And Joe Rogan is kind of an interesting guy where he likes to just talk to anyone about anything that someone finds to be interesting. So he's had a number of people on to discuss the coronavirus. And Rogan himself has been is somewhat of a skeptic concerning the coronavirus vaccine. He had a couple of doctors on his show who are well-credentialed fellows, well-accomplished doctors, but are skeptics of kind of the prevailing COVID consensus of the minute. This has been kind of one of the tricky things about this issue, is that in a world where people are always wanting to get facts and to prevent the spread of misinformation, the problem is that the people in charge of determining what actually is misinformation are oftentimes slow to acknowledge that things they were saying were false 5 seconds ago might actually be true. So things like the possibility that COVID came out of a lab leak and didn't occur naturally, things like, at least with the later mutations of the coronavirus, that your COVID vaccine would not prevent you from actually contracting or spreading the virus. So he's had a few people on like that. And in response to that, it started with Neil Young, a famous singer-songwriter, Canadian singer-songwriter, who basically said, look, my music is on Spotify. Joe Rogan's on Spotify. I don't like how Joe Rogan is turning Spotify into a kind of hotbed of misinformation. People are going to die if they take their medical advice from him. This is a dangerous thing for society. So as a kind of form of protest, he said, all right, Spotify, you got to choose between me and Joe Rogan. And Spotify said, we're choosing Rogan, basically. And so Neil Young, to his credit, was good on his word and said, all right, I'm taking my music off of the platform. And other musicians have followed suit. Joni Mitchell, I believe, as well. And then the other guys, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, who were famously a group with Neil Young for a number of years. I believe there have been some other artists as well that, as their form of protest, have said, we don't want to be associated with him. So this is our form of pressuring Spotify, but really kind of any other platform, their way of pressuring them to not give a voice to people who are sharing information that they disagree with.
A similar and successful canceling campaign was carried out against legal scholar Ilya Shapiro. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so Ilya is a very intelligent, smart legal scholar. He's a friend of mine. He is of a kind of libertarian political disposition. And he was recently appointed to a rather prestigious position at Georgetown University, which I believe is executive director and senior lecturer at the Georgetown Center for the Constitution. So shortly after it was announced that he was appointed to that position, I don't even think he'd begun filling it at this point, he issued a series of tweets addressing the issue of the fact that, you know, now that there's going to be a Supreme Court vacancy, President Biden had promised that if he were elected president, if there's a Supreme Court vacancy, he is going to nominate a black woman to the Supreme Court. So basically, he's starting off with identity politics, he's starting off with racial quotas, and then kind of qualifications will be secondary to that. So Ilya, who is a critic of these kind of racial quotas, had a series of tweets where he basically talked about a certain woman who would be a better pick if you were a liberal president, if you're a progressive president, you're wanting to nominate a female minority. Hey, here's a lady that would work very well, but essentially because she's not black, because she's another racial group. His phrasing was, so we'll get a lesser black woman. Now, from the context of his tweets, it's very clear that he wasn't saying black women are lesser, or that because, sort of morally speaking, or that that a black woman will be lesser in terms of qualifications because she's black. It's quite obvious that what he was saying was, instead of taking the most qualified person, you're going to look at a different group of demographics, different race demographics, and you're going to pick someone who would be less qualified because of that, and that's a bad thing. Now, one can disagree with whether or not that's actually what the president is going to do, but it's very clear from the context that what he was saying was not in any way, shape, or form racist or bigoted. But immediately, the typical kind of what I call professional slander vultures of social media began ginning up a mob, calling for him to lose his job. Within a couple of days, the university had placed him on administrative leave while they investigate whether the tweets that everyone really knew right away weren't racist were racist. And then you got a bunch of students who have been campaigning to get him fired, staging sit-ins and things of that nature to make sure that the university fires him. So that's what happened in that case.
You ask, why go out of your way to destroy the careers of people whose views should be easily refuted if they are, in fact, so baseless? What's the answer to that question?
Yeah, it is sort of the weird thing about cancel culture, especially in circumstances like this. I mean, if you look, for example, at the Joe Rogan case, all right, well, if he's spreading misinformation, and if the information is so egregiously false that you can't handle it. Egregiously false things are usually pretty easy to debunk, right? So if someone goes on Joe Rogan's podcast and claims that Delaware is not a state, that it should be fairly easy to prove that Delaware is in fact a state. So that is kind of the odd thing about it, is that you would expect, all right, well, if these things are so outlandish, it shouldn't really bother you that people are saying them, because that will give you an easy opportunity to respond and say, here are the points that they made. Here's the evidence. I have the receipts to sort of show all of the factual errors in what they're saying. But of course, that's not the case, because I think for a lot of folks, it's not like Neil Young knows more about vaccine science than the doctors on the show that Joe Rogan had. I think rather what this is, it's a matter of people ultimately saying, I don't like what you're saying. I don't know how to refute it. And I don't feel confident in my ability to win the debate. So because I don't feel confident in my ability to win the debate, I want to cancel the debate and just simply say that you can't have a platform to speak.
You propose a thought experiment of sorts by asking your readers to imagine that they are a pastor of a humble Lutheran church. How does that experiment go?
Sure. So imagine that you're the pastor of a sweet little Lutheran church, you know, in Springfield, Illinois, or Springfield, Missouri, or one of the other very exotic locations that German immigrants decided to build churches. And you walk into your church one Sunday morning, and you're getting ready to preach the gospel to your folks. And you look up, and there is a Mormon guy, you know, little short sleeve white shirt, black tie, and he's in your pulpit. And you walk up to him and you say, can I help you? And he says, oh, yeah, I'm Elder Billingsley from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I'm going to give the sermon this morning. And you look at him and you go, no, you're going to get out of my pulpit in 5 seconds or else I'm going to call the police. And the reason you would do that is because you recognize, well, this church, this congregation that exists, this body of believers, we have this building, this sacred space, because God gave it to us so that we can hear his word of truth and be comforted by it. And that pulpit that I have, God called me as the pastor to be the guy who stands up in that pulpit and who speaks the word of truth. And my job is to proclaim the gospel and to fight against the falsehoods that deny the gospel. So the Mormon guy is welcome at my dinner table. He and I can go lift weights together or go see a nice PG-rated movie together. But the Mormon guy is not welcome in my pulpit because he is going to teach things that are false. He's going to deny the Trinity. He's going to not deny the sufficiency of Christ's atonement, the divine nature of Jesus. He's going to deny a million things that my people need to know are true. So that pulpit doesn't belong to him. He needs to get out of it, and we need to preserve the purity of that pulpit by making sure the only people who step into it are those who are going to proclaim the truth. And for the left, this is very much how they approach cancel culture. Cancel culture is basically their way of keeping their pulpit pure. They don't want people speaking to the congregation if they're going to be speaking words that deny what they consider to be the orthodox truths, whether that's stuff related to COVID, whether that's that men can get pregnant and have babies, or whatever it might be. The difference, of course, is that as a Lutheran pastor, I go, all right, well, my sanctuary, the space that I have jurisdiction over, is the little building in Crestwood, Missouri, where my church is. But for the left, their understanding is the entire world is their sanctuary. Every square inch of the planet belongs to them. That is their terrain that they have jurisdiction over, where they are the ones controlling the speech. And their pulpit is not for me. My pulpit is the piece of wood that I walk into within the sanctuary in Crestwood, Missouri. But for them, their pulpit is any avenue, any platform, anyone who has a microphone, any way of communicating with other human beings, that's the pulpit that belongs to them. And they are the ones who will determine who gets to get up into that pulpit and talk. So if you look at the folks who are typically canceled in cancel culture, the kind of the common theme they all have is somebody took a position that the left said didn't belong to them. Someone had an audience and used their audience to speak heresy, according to the left. So whether it was, you know, Gina Carano getting fired from Star Wars, from the Mandalorian show, because she had the wrong political opinions and didn't have the right views on transgenderism and COVID mandates and things of that nature. Whether it's, you've seen these examples, you know, of school boards and of the educational institutions, public schools freaking out that filthy, dirty parents who have conservative views would dare try to control the curriculums of their school, because those curriculums, that's their pulpit, that belongs to them. So it would be akin to if I were to let a Mormon walk into my pulpit and start addressing people, where you go, no, you can't say that. You're going to say things that are wrong. That's going to damage people. And in both the cases of Ilya Shapiro and Joe Rogan, you see the same thing. So that Ilya's sin was not that he brought shame upon Georgetown by tweeting something that could have been phrased a little bit better. Ilya's sin was that he got hired by Georgetown. He was given a position of prominence where he's going to be able to talk to people and have people listen to him. He's not allowed to do that because he has the wrong views. The same thing with Joe Rogan. It's not, the issue is not really that Joe Rogan is letting doctors who disagree with the conclusions that you've drawn talk. The issue is Joe Rogan built a giant audience by himself, and he has more influence than entire news networks, at least in terms of audience. And he didn't ask permission. He doesn't. There are many issues in which he doesn't hold the right views. And he had the audacity to try to preach to a congregation when he was not authorized to do so. That's kind of the real issue that behind all of this, I think.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about cancel culture. He's pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and he's authored a recent column for The Federalist titled Cancel Culture Attacks Are Leftist Attempts to Protect Their Pagan Pulpits. We'll go into a little more detail on the other side of the break about where exactly those pulpits are located. Stay tuned.
While not caring for someone's grief, do we want to see him change, or we like to see him suffer? We're smarter together, so let's learn to help each other.
Can we cancel culture and chill a little longer? Don't be so vulgar to each other. Can we cancel culture and chill a little longer? Don't be so vulgar.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt is the author of our book of the month for February, Faith Misused: Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Faith Misused at issuesetc.org. Find out how faith is an exclusively Christian word and how Christians can reclaim it in Faith Misused, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues Etc.
America's tradition of liberty depends on having colleges and universities that equip young people for the responsibilities of freedom. At Concordia University Chicago, freedom is a pillar of our education. We prepare our students to live as free, self-governing citizens. I'm Dr. Rachel Ferguson, Director of the Free Enterprise Center at Concordia Chicago. I invite you to visit us. Discover what it means for freedom to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about cancel culture with Pastor Hans Feeney. He is creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. So Hans, I'm intrigued by your statement before the break that the left considers every square inch of the planet their pulpit. Where in particular do they especially defend their right to hold sway and do all the preaching?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger the audience, the bigger the attraction, the bigger the potential to be heard, the more that they consider that to be their terrain. So social media is obviously a big one, the entertainment industry, things of that nature. But you see this, for example, with YouTube, where YouTube has been canceling channels, deplatforming channels, demonetizing channels that post stuff that they don't like, whether it's gun stuff, whether it's COVID stuff, things of that nature. You see it likewise on Twitter. You know, I mean, there was the whole thing of Twitter banning President Trump quite a while ago, where the platform was saying we need to make sure that we are ensuring that all information that is shared, at least from high profile accounts, is accurate and true. But in a lot of ways, it's just anything that's big. You know, one of my big criticisms of modern leftism, and I've written about this before, is that it's a parasitic phenomenon. I took a class in college called The Biology of Birds, and the only thing I remember from it was that the brown-headed cowbird is an obligate brood parasite, which means that it is a bird that does not have the ability to make its own nest. So it lays its eggs in the nests of other birds, typically smaller birds, and its eggs hatch, and its offspring is bigger than the other ones, so they kick the other birds out of the nests, and then the other sort of foster mommy birds come and feed them. And that's how their chicks grow into adult brown-headed cowbirds. So there's something kind of similar in how the left uses institutions, where they don't create and build things. They just simply hollow out stuff that already exists. And then they go, okay, we're going to refashion and repurpose this for our own purposes. And I think this is kind of the case, especially with Joe Rogan, where you have a mainstream media that is, in many cases, hemorrhaging viewers and has no goodwill built up with an audience and has become such a politicized thing that the only people that they actually appeal to are the kind of hardened viewers who look to them to just sort of regurgitate the things that they already think. And that's kind of the unique thing about Joe Rogan's program is I don't agree with him on a ton of stuff. I probably disagree with him on more things than I agree with him on. But the show's not really about his beliefs. He has very interesting people on to talk about really interesting things. And that's kind of what the news used to be, in a sense, is it was taking things that were interesting and fascinating ideas or interesting events and letting people have access to them. But everything has become so politicized that he's kind of a unique case of someone who has a ton of people who watch, not because he's telling them the things that they want to hear, but because he's just created an interesting program. And I speculate that a lot of the left's problem with Joe Rogan is not really so much the COVID stuff. It's the fact that he's able to draw people in who through a more effective means than politics. And you can't get a very big audience if that's your only kind of way to appealing to people. So especially if you don't have kind of a common enemy to unite around. So I imagine that for the left, that's a lot of the issue with Joe Rogan is that he built this huge thing and we want that for ourselves. And we want to figure out how we can take over something like that and refashion it for our own goal when you can't do that. And this kind of the COVID stuff, I think, is just sort of a way to make it seem like a holier endeavor than it actually is.
How could the left, who, by the way, have always been the aggressors in the culture war, how could they de-escalate if they wanted to?
Well, I think a lot of it is going to kind of depend on how far this stuff goes. I mean, we've seen this recently where Whoopi Goldberg just got suspended for a couple of weeks from The View for making some comments about the Holocaust that I didn't hear enough to know to be able to really comment on. But if the left starts kind of devouring itself to a certain point with this, perhaps that might cause a little reflection, kind of in the same way with COVID restrictions, that when people thought only dumb Southerners who didn't get vaccinated were going to keep getting COVID, and then the Omicron variant came around and people who'd been triple vaccinated, you know, in the Northeast started getting it, then all of a sudden people started talking about, well, maybe we do need to get back to normal. That, you know, that might possibly be there might be something to that. But I think in the end, what you hopefully can do is just, if you can speak to folks who are perhaps kind of politically aligned with this kind of weird woke cancel culture, but have a bit more thoughtfulness to them, be good to kind of say to them, look, this is how I approach it as a pastor. If I had a member come to me and say, hey, pastor, some Mormons stopped by my house the other day, and they offered to give me a Book of Mormon, and I didn't know what I should do. If my response were, don't ever talk to the Mormons, throw their book in the trash, you do not have my permission to ever engage them at all. If they come back to your house, you should call the police. What I'm going to be indicating to someone with that is that I'm afraid of what the Mormons are saying, that I don't have a way to argue against it, that I can't disprove the claims that they have. A much better approach would be, well, sure, tell them to come back on, you know, Wednesday afternoon, and I'll stop by and we'll compare the Bible and the Book of Mormon, and they can tell you what they think about things, and we can talk to them about why they think that that's wrong. And not only does that show me that the person who's my own sheep, it shows that person, I don't need to be afraid of these ideas, and we're so confident in the truth of what we believe that there's no idea on earth that we're afraid to encounter. But it also provides a great opportunity to share what you believe is true with someone who doesn't agree with that, and to possibly bring someone into the light of Christ. And I think there's something similar that hopefully the left can learn from this, which is just simply, if you don't permit people to have any kind of environment, you're not going to keep winning converts to your cause. You're going to indicate to people, I don't know how to respond to their arguments, which means that their arguments are stronger than mine. And so in whatever venues they can find those people, they will listen to them. And likewise, you'll also, and if you make normal conservative voices go into back alleys to have their conversations, the really, really, really kind of nutty right-wing people that no one really wants anyone listening to, they're going to find them in the process. So if you take a sort of a normal voice and say this is a vile, dangerous extremist, then that's just going to make people more likely to listen to the actual vile, dangerous extremists. But the other thing is, try to convince me. If you actually believe that what you're saying is true, then give me an avenue to talk about it. Because if I'm not allowed to talk about it, then I'm not going to listen about it. I'm not going to hear your arguments, and you're not going to have an opportunity to win me over to whatever is your particular cause.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and he's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Cancel Culture Attacks Are Leftist Attempts to Protect Their Pagan Pulpits. You'll find a link to it and to Lutheran Satire at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Hans, thank you very much.
My pleasure as always.
When we come back, Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith joins us. We're going to be talking about the preaching and the teaching of the new leaders of Hillsong Church. Stay tuned.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
What do you know about Islam or Judaism or Buddhism? Well, if you've wondered how these teachings, these religions, relate to Christianity, or in particular Lutheranism, you're in luck. The February issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about Lutheranism and the world religions. To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or learn more at our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is RedeemerChico.org.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.